About 1,000 years ago, a Viking community decided to settle on Greenland. There was already an Inuit community living there. The Inuit had their cultural identity as hunter-gatherers. They took from nature the offerings that they needed, and they had their economic and technological means to distribute them among the members of their community. Now, the Viking looked down on the Inuit. Their cultural identity was one of European farmers. So they ate meat instead of fish, they lived in wooden houses, not snow and ice, and they had big ships for doing international trade. Yet in spite of their higher sophistication and so-called superiority, after 450 years, the Viking starved to death, whereas the Inuit continued to thrive. Now, interestingly, until the very end of their stay in Greenland, the Viking appeared to have never eaten seafood. They ended up eating their calves and eating their dogs. So apparently, they preferred to hold on to their cultural identity of European farmers rather than learning from the Inuit and survive. Are we wiser than the Viking? This is a graph from the European Environmental Bureau showing on the horizontal axis the Human Development Index and on the vertical axis the number of planets that we need to achieve that level of development. The global footprint, the ecological footprint. Now, interestingly, not a single country that achieves a high level of development remains within the boundaries of one planet, whereas the countries that do remain within those boundaries are called underdeveloped. This is also because development is defined by educational and health system, which in turn are organized via a redistribution of a percentage of extractive economic growth that depletes the planet. So in fact, humanity is like Sisyphus, trying to roll a big heavy rock uphill towards more development, whereas this very rock is pushing him towards the abyss. So what does this teach us about sustainability? We have now, in terms of complex systems, we have an economic and technological system that is pursuing its own growth and uses the planet, the biophysical resources, and humans, human resources, as means for its own growth. It is depleting human and natural resources for its own growth. So everybody realizes now that this is not sustainable. So sustainability is on everybody's agenda. But some people define it as, how can we sustain this growth of the economic system? Maybe by greening it a little bit. And that is what we call weak sustainability, because the aim remains total control of nature for the growth of the economy. Strong sustainability, other people pursue, starts from redefining the narrative of what it means to be human and how we relate to nature, and then redefines the economic and technological means that we need to thrive within the boundaries of the planet. So strong sustainability means creating virtuous cycles of sustainable co-evolution between our narratives, the reality of nature, and the technological means that we have. So are we now wiser than the Vikings? The diagnosis is mixed. It's true that most of the system is still on the extractive growth pathway, like the Vikings. We're greening it a bit, but we're not really leaving it. Yet at the same time, somewhere around 1972, when the report of the Club of Rome, Limits to Growth, came out, many people started to realizing that this scenario was leading nowhere and have started to develop new narratives with respect to nature, to natural life, and also redesigning economic models and scientific models, more systemic, holistic models. And this is now supported by the global agenda. The global agenda that the United Nations have agreed upon and that contains 17 sustainable development goals. So the question is, will we be able in time to switch from the extractive growth paradigm towards the regenerative growth paradigm in time? It will take the collaboration not only of different disciplines, but also of entrepreneurs, political leaders, and citizens. But in sum, an economic, educational, and scientific systems that keep telling young people that the extractive growth scenario is the only one available to them is not worth the name of education. It is based on a lie.